Yes, the dark side of cotton. I've been down there listening to all these nice seminars on fiber, trying to improve fiber, and here I go. What they say is one man's trash is another man's treasure. I like fuzzless, I like fiberless lines. If you're depressed after this seminar, have nightmares about going to a cotton field without any fiber in it, blame Joe Johnson. We should have started with that, where you would have felt like it was an improvement. The fibers come after that. Anyway, I've always felt kind of strange talking about fiberless lines in the improvement session. So I feel this is almost an oxymoron, okay? Fiberless cotton presentation and improvement session. I was trained as a plant physiologist, a biochemist, and then a cell biologist. So I actually do believe this should be here, because the ultimate goal is to understand how a fiber is developed. These genes, these loci that I'm talking about today, are loci that remove fiber in the form of fuzzless fiber. Let me see what I've had here. For cell biologists, mutations are one of the nicest thing to work with. You have cotton lines that have naturally mutated. So you can go through and find the loci, in my opinion, my field genes that are involved in these processes. Understanding the genotypes and genetics of the fiberless and fuzzless lines will facilitate the deciphering of the mechanism of fiber initiation. I started this project early on, back in 1992, just trying to develop lines that I could use in my research. Now, I will tell you one of my pet peeves, I don't like the word naked. If you are fully clothed without any underwear, you're not naked, okay? These naked seed lines have fiber most of the times, okay? So they're not naked, they're fuzzless. So when you see, hear me call them fuzzless, I'm bucking the norm by not calling them naked, but the last fuzzless seed lines can have between 0 and 25% lint. That's quite a bit of lint when you think about 25%. It's not real good, kind of depressing, but it's usually high quality. I also prefer the term fiberless over the lintless fuzzless, which a lot of people are using lately. Both lint and fuzz are fibers, and therefore it's the shortest descriptive word. Wow, 644. Okay, these are the three fiberless lines I've been working with lately. The MD17 I released back in 2002. I ended up crossing two lines, line 243 and 143. 243 is a dominant recessive dominant fuzzless seed in one, and 143 is a recessive fuzzless seed in two line. And out of every 16 plants, you get one fiberless. So that line was released. We're pretty confident of that. This last year, the first cross ever made was with SL171, which is Stevens' line. It is fiberless. In Australia, though, it tends to produce a little bit of lint. So maybe part of that is environmentally influenced. Anyway, it has a dominant fuzzless seed allele. And I designated the two other alleles, FL1 and N3, for fiberless 1 and naked seed 3. And there goes the naked. It does pop out. The XZ142W is a Chinese fiberless line. It's been reported on twice with two different genotypes. And this line has given me problems now, because which one do you use? I have to go out and figure out which one it is. When you cross them, you cross fiberless lines, you expect a fiberless line. Well, since the genotypes differ, you always get a little bit of fiber, except for on the SL171 crossed by XZ142 line, which you get a lot of fiber. It's only about 3 or 4%, but it still looks like a lot. Again, really not that naked. So during the, when you read these papers, the first genotype, the N2N2LI3LI3 was reported by Pan and Zhang back in 1991 using the normal nomenclature of N1 as being the dominant dominant fuzzous seed locus, and then two being a recessive fuzzous seed locus. I put the LI3 and LI1 and LI2 down here because they're dominant short lint loci. Ligon lintless has short lint and fuzz. A lot of people like to say, well, lintless. Well, it's not lintless, it's just short lint. The other genotype was introduced back in 2001 in plant breeding, and they've actually changed the nomenclature on us a little bit, which really gave me headaches the week after Christmas, because I had to try to figure out what they were actually doing. But they say the N1 is a dominant fuzzy seed locus, and the dominant N2 is a dominant fuzzless seed locus, with the recessive LI3 and LI4 creating the lintless phenotype. So we have a problem, we have to figure this out. I figured though, if we go by the second, the Dew paper, we would have lines that look like the ligon lintless. This is ligon lintless 2, it is actually LI2 dominant, so therefore you have short lint and fuzz. But this genotype, here we go, genotype right here should also have this same phenotype, which we haven't been able to find so far. Now, I have to apologize. I made this the last day before I came out. I was going to change it the night I went home. I didn't. It's a terrible slide. But it's a lot like my desk. Very confusing, a lot of junk. But anyway, again, we call this, this would be maybe the short lint. Sorry, the fuzz with no lint. So theoretically, out of 256 plants, we should have one of these. If this is actually also no lint and fuzz, we should have a total of three plants, one here and then two more with this genotype. Our observations in this, we have about close to 500 progeny. We use the, obviously, the Pan and Zhang ratios, basically 12 to 3 to 1, 12 fuzzy to 3 naked, fuzzless, to 1 fiberless, and basically got good ratios, chi-squares. We also did this. This was with a population, F2 population, from the line I used to like, which is DP5690, crossed by XZ142. We also did a line that Chinzen Zhang gave me, which is I call XZ Fuzz. I'm not sure what it is, but he said it was neuroisogenic to the XZ142W. So we crossed those. Also about 500 population, got a chi-square of 0.6950 with probability of 70%. So that it all fits. So we like still using that. I'm not sure if it's correct. We have to do a lot of other things. I have back crosses that I have not looked at right now yet. But the one thing that bothers me is we like to get the lintless locus out there. Fuzzless seed loci in cotton inhibit fiber initiation. Usually all the fuzz fiber except for tufted, the tufted seed, and a partial inhibition of the lint initiation. I'm going to go ahead and skip this and go straight to this. We have, I did a survey on 14 of these fuzzless lines. I was hoping I'd find a few of the recessive, but they were all dominant in one. And we went from everywhere to about 0.5% lint to 23.6, which is right there. So we had a wide variation. These are all dominant naked seed. Dominant fuzzless, okay? Here you have, oops, what did I do? Anyway, in that one you had just a very few fibers. You have just a very few fibers, and they all initiate on that chalazal end. It seems like four groups. You have some that produce very little lint. When you see line 48 and line 52, those are the Mississippi obsolete variety collection numbers, not the PI numbers, obviously. I don't know what I did. Anyway, technical difficulties here. You just get fiber initiation around here on the more extreme versions of these. Line 243, we have made neuroisogenic lines out of this one. We have we have crossed this into DP5690 and then back crossed it five times. The lint percent of 11.6 hasn't changed after back crossing it five times. It's actually a DP-569 in one line now. Line 52 has 23.6% lint, and it's very interesting. You have a lot of epistatic relationships here going on in these lines that either remove lint or maybe put more lint on. The thing we have not checked to see if these N1 alleles are the same, if there's been another mutation to them or not. This right here is DP-5690. Hello, Rick. There we go. You can see fuzz all over. I should have told you that these are SEMs of 2DPA fiber. I'm sorry, 2DPA ovules. One of the observations that was made back in 2007, I believe it was, in a plant paper, was that these naked seed lines, their lint, grow slower than a normal seed. So the inhibition of elongation too with these lines. And that this is just reconfirming that first observation. Anyway, summary, we have quite a few naked fiberless lines, and they're all genetically different. They're all genetically similar. It's basically a variation on a theme. You have on the one side here, these three over here share loci, N2, N2 here for the MD17, N1 here, and N1 here. The 40L is a Uzbekistani fiberless line that also has fuzzless seed in the F2 progeny. This one here, the MCU5, is an Indian line that does not have any fuzzless seed in the F2 population. And the question is, are there others? My goal here is to develop lines, is to identify how many locus or loci we do have that are involved in lint reduction, lint elimination, fiber removal. Down the road here, as we start looking for genes, we're going to have to know how many genes we're going to have to find. So that's one of the goals. The other goal is to develop lines so I can actually do this. I would also like to know the genotype before I start crossing them onto other things to maybe help find those genes. We're starting to cross these lines with pilos. Figuring that may actually help us identify genes that are involved in trichome initiation by using the same genes that are found in Arabidopsis. So I believe I said everything I was supposed to with all the confusion that was going on. I'm done.
Questions?
We
have one.
Todd,
what are you in the back?
Oh, okay. Whoa, I need binoculars. Yes. A fuzzless?
Yes.
Yes.
So there
are
at least the two parents.
Yes. The N1 and N2 are probably homologous genes. One beyond 12, chromosome 12, and the other on 26, obviously. As has been reported so many times before. Okay. This is why some papers tend to bother me a little bit more than others. Okay. Next, any other questions? The highest I ever got has been 23.6. I have not tried to develop these into lines to produce. My goal has been to find, develop populations and to try to go after the genes that are mutated.
I remember Brad Waddle in S1D talked a lot about Louisiana brown
then. Right. I think you want a near naked. You don't want a naked. These are relatively naked. I Dick Olive's group has been working on this. They did a, good grief, they basically a mutation. And they found lines that have low fuzz, but yield pretty well. And actually, they gen a lot easier than some of the other seeds.
That's why he was interested.
Right. I was talking to Tom Kirby just, well, right after lunch, and we're talking about why different lines have different limp percents. It was talking about DP50 having a lower limp percent, not as high as production. And there may be some kind of allele in there, locus, that is actually inhibiting that process. We need to find out what these are. And if we do, maybe we can improve the limp percents in a lot of different lines. So, yes, I'm working on the dark side, but the goal is to become, you know, non-evil.